Welcome to the Cathedral Church of St. Luke and St. Paul. I'm Bob Lawrence, blessed to still be involved in missions in the diocese, and blessed to serve at St. Christopher Camp and Conference Center, where we have been able to host so many of our honored international guests over these last few weeks around the occasion of their participation in the New Wineskins Conference. There are 13 distinguished leaders of the Anglican Communion behind me. There's about double that have blessed our presence over these last few weeks. Some have already had to return to places like Egypt and Myanmar and Honduras and Peru. So even more country flags would be up there if we had still the full representation of everyone we had in our midst. But these 13 distinguished visitors, one woman and 12 men, are going to share where they've come from, who they are, and something about their ministry. So thank you for being with us. There is a supper that follows. Please stay for that, because there's been a lot of prep done to prepare for it right after the last of our speakers has a chance to speak. But I'm going to turn this mic over to our bishop and let him introduce the full panel, but most especially our first speaker tonight. Bishop.
Good evening. I know more than a few of you were able to attend the New Wineskins Conference this past week in Ridgecrest. I was scheduled to be there, but unfortunately I had some legal obligations back here in the diocese. My wife was there, and one of the things she told me was how many people came up to her and said, "Isn't it astonishing how vital the Anglican Diocese of South Carolina is, even in the midst of all of our legal challenges and litigation?" We had the largest single entity represented there, over 10% of the participants came from this diocese. That is a tribute to your commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As many of you know, when I became bishop, one of the visions I set forward for the diocese is that we were called by God to make biblical Anglicans for a global age, to help shape emerging Anglicanism in the 21st century. This is the second group of people that we have helped sponsor to go to the Ridgecrest conferences. It's a fourth. Thank you, Bob. I'm getting a little up in age. If I was in many of their dioceses, I'd already have to retire. And that's true. But at 69, I'm still young at heart. But it is a joy to see little by little this vision taking root and forming relationships with your various parishes. And if you have a congregation that's here tonight, either as a lay person or as a priest, that does not have a missional relationship with a diocese or a province somewhere in the world, you've got an opportunity right here before you to form a relationship with one of them. Just saddle up to them during the dinner and just say, "Let's talk about how we might form a relationship between your diocese and St. Swithin's by the swamp or St. Mary's by the marsh." But I want to turn quickly to a passage from Scripture, which I think encapsulates what this evening is about. St. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, said, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy, thankful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel thus about you, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." This is our opportunity to stand with brothers and sisters around the world and realize that they are standing with us, lifting us up in prayer, and pleading before the God of heaven that we will stand firm in our day as others have stood firm in theirs. The first one to speak tonight will be the Archbishop. Well, first let me have them all stand and welcome them with applause. Thank you. The first one to speak will be the Archbishop-elect of Uganda. He told me today that there's 13 million, is that what you said, 13 million Anglicans, or was it 14 million? It's increasing. So we're taught, when he stands to speak, just realize there are over 10 million, 13 million Anglicans that he represents, that he is the he will be the Archbishop and primate over. That is a substantial number of believers in Jesus Christ. But one of the things he reminded me of as we met earlier today is that challenges and difficulties and sorrows may last the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I'm looking at some of you and realize that it may be a time of challenge, but remember, the Lord is our portion and our joy. And it's a joy to welcome these brothers and sisters in Christ. So first, Archbishop-elect Kazimba, welcome. You're great.
That is me. And I want to greet you and bring greetings from my family. I have four boys, three of them are there. And also, that is my honorary wife, Margaret, for 36 years. And our son was graduating. And also, we had our two children, the first one and the second one. We have four boys. They got married the same day in one wedding, Moses and Peter, and that is the wedding. And now God has given us grandchildren this year, February 24 and March 24. They are girls. You see how happy grandpa is. And now one of the ministries, the women, you know, there are many, many men in prison and many women in church. So the women, as those are women always actually going ahead of us in the ministry. And also we have other ministries like Boer Hall Ministry to help people with clean water, because it's very, very important. Many people will die without clean water. And also school ministry. I have in our diocese 450 schools in the diocese. This is elementary school and 22 high schools. So we must always visit schools and preach the gospel. Because once you neglect the school, you have neglected the whole nation. And now these are confirmants, like when I go for confirmation every Sunday. Not every Sunday, because I have 740 churches and 68 parishes. So each Sunday I go for confirmation, there are 100, 200 confirmants. And every one of them must have a Bible. It's compulsory to have the Word of God. And you can see, this is a ministry I am also doing. The couples I have wedded ever since I was made a priest, I have wedded now 300 couples. So I invite them every year for a retreat and check on them whether they are still smiling. So that is the ministry. And this is the cathedral we just built 3 years ago. It accommodates 3,000 people who come to worship in the cathedral. And that's the cathedral. But also, I want to let you know that this ministry where I've been for 11 years, God is calling me to become the 9th Archbishop of Uganda, and the installation will be March 1 or 1st March next year. So you are all welcome. You are welcome to join us. And lastly, I want to thank you very much for your hospitality, for your generosity, which is an indicative of your spirituality. You know, hospitality, generosity, and spirituality are interwoven. So thank you very much, Bishop, and the people of this diocese, for welcoming us, for supporting us. We've had a nice time in New Wine Skin. It was my first time. I was blessed. And then in St. Christopher, where there's resting, restoration, and renewal, as a newly elected archbishop, it was the right place for me to stay. So thank you. God bless you and keep you. Thank you so much.
Bwana Yesu asifiwe. Praise the Lord. Bishop Kampicha, Daniel Wario, from Northern Kenya, Diocese of Marsabit. Basically, we are at the northern part. Maybe I just want to see something up on the map. Northern Kenya is at the front line of the mission field, because the whole of the eastern part of the country is almost fully Islam. The remaining corridor in northern Kenya, because the same is true for Ethiopia, eastern Ethiopia, is that corridor within which the diocese is. And it is the size of England. Wonderful privilege to be ministering to 14 different language people groups in that corridor. And we thank God for this opportunity. We have three archdeaconries, 62 churches, 18 parishes, 23 clergy, and 45 lay evangelists spread across an area the size of England. Our churches and ministry is seen in different forms, and you can see churches ranging from under trees, small, tiny churches. I'm talking about three churches. We are so grateful for the gift of the partnership of Christ Church, Mount Pleasant, Bluffton, Church of the Cross, Bluffton. I'm glad to see Robin Quick there and the rector, Father Ted, and the members. We have been able to upgrade churches from being three churches to permanent, decent places of worship. We are now standing at the fifth church, and we are forever grateful for that partnership. Continue. The different people, we crowd the churches. This is a labor for the, continue, Borana, the Rendille, the Gabra. Different ethnic people groups, language people groups are there, and such a wonderful privilege that God has given us these people to minister to. You can see the Gabra in the desert. You drive through a desert for 2 hours. I'm glad Bishop Mark Lawrence has been in Marsabit. And it's for 2 hours you are going through the desert, and in that desert lives people. They need the gospel. They need to be reached. Continue. Challenges of insecurity. This was a time there was displacement of people, and we had to give food. Insecurity, ethnic tribal conflict is almost there every now and then. Even right now as I speak, the Borana and the Gabra are fighting. Crop failure, life has changed. What we are hearing to be of global warming. We plant crops at the flowering stage. Everything dries up. No water. You can see how women are gathering at existing water points. Look at that young boy at the riverbed trying to go deeper looking for water. And then When I was a student at Trinity School for Ministry, I was laboring in prayer, afraid of ministering in northern Kenya because of the difficulties that are there. But deep within my heart, knowing that the church needs me there, I was praying, Lord, give me something tangible. Long story short, 10 years ago, Janet Helms comes up to me, how can we help? And I said, a Christian school. 560 students at this school, and we thank God of the partnership and the gifts of God's people. This is an example of three churches that was... Go back a bit, sorry. This is the way it was, and then now, the next slide. No. Sorry, slowing down. Yeah, this church, one of the churches that have been supported. Next slide. The first one, Church of the Cross, Atan. It was supported by Church of the Cross, Bluffton. And then we organized youths from across the diocese to come together once in a year for a conference. Men's ministry is very key in this diocese. You win the father of the home, you win the whole family. So it's very key, very strategic, and that's where we are focusing. We've had a vibrant women's ministry. They are the backbone of the church. And we are so grateful for the Lord. Once again, I would want to thank God for the gift of your love, of your partnership and friendship. Above all, Bishop Mark Lawrence and the Christians over whom God has placed you as a leader, thank you for your faithfulness to the gospel ministry, and the Lord bless you. Thank you.
My name is Johnson Gakumba. I come from northern Uganda, which is the province of the Church of Uganda. And it's my first time to attend this meeting, but I've been coming to the parish of St. John's and St. James for now nearly 10 years. So that is my wife. Greetings from my wife, Christine. And I want to also thank God for the partnership with St. John's Parish on John's Island, and also St. James. You know, I ordained the Reverend Elizabeth, and so she's also the parish of St. James is warming up. Our relationship with it is warming up. But mainly we have been partnering with St. John's, and I'm glad to say we have a very strong partnership with Father Greg and his team, and I'm glad they are here. Some of them are here. They have been to Uganda many times. That was the first time. That is the thanksgiving we are giving, that through St. John's, our diocese for nearly 10 years has improved from what it was. That was the first time they visited us, and they built us a guest house for mission partners who come to preach the gospel. They can stay there freely and then preach the gospel. We have now, they are supporting us to train our clergy, and we have so far trained 99, but 61 of them are from our diocese. We thank God for that. We have also trained 200 lay readers and commissioned them to go and preach the gospel. When I went to the diocese, I found 98 congregations, but our congregations have grown to over 350. We thank God for that. And also, one of the things that we have been having as a challenge is the war of RRA that lasted for over 20 years. And the churches, much as they are full, they don't give much. So the clergy children cannot go to school. But we thank St. John's for supporting at least one child of the clergy, although there are many. There are six or seven, as you know. I personally have seven children. So at least they are supporting one. And 65 have been sponsored by St. John's Parish. We have built church buildings. I only found five, and now we have over 70 church buildings that have been built all over the diocese. So we are visible, and wherever the church is built, people fill the church. And we now have a challenge of discipling these people. I found five health centers, and now we have grown to 18 health centers. And we want to thank God for that. Some of those health centers are supporting Sudanese refugees. And quite here, one of our health centers have been upgraded from health center 2 to a health center 3. So we need doctors, we need nurses who can come over even for a week or a month to support us. And so we continue to value this partnership, because in partnership, it is we hold each other's hands. And we want to assure you that we stand with you as a Diocese of South Carolina, as an Anglican Diocese. You have brothers all over the world. You may think you are alone here and you are undergoing litigation, you are being persecuted, but the persecutions are all over the world. Yours may be psychological or spiritual, but others are facing physical persecution. So stand firm in the Lord, because this is the Lord's battle. God bless you all.
Hello, I'm the Right Reverend Dr. Prabal Kanto Datta. It's a very big name. I come from a very small country with a big name. Yeah, I now represent the Anglican Church now in India, because I was with the Church of North India, and I was a deputy primate of the Church of North India, and I left it because I felt that the Lord was calling me for a greater purpose and not to be involved with the corruption that the church went through. We are inspired by the verse from Matthew chapter 25 verses 40, where it says, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, you have done it to me." There are two big challenges. India is, we have 3% Christians out of a billion people, more than a billion people. And our present federal government is not very favorable. As you know, he's very favorable to your president. But when he goes back to, maybe he's converted here, when he goes back to India, he reconverts himself. So, in the light of this 3%, we are challenged to how do we present Christ to these people. We have two big challenges. One is, of course, a spiritual challenge. The second is a physical challenge. As far as the spiritual challenge is concerned, we are very happy that, you know, we have what is called the biggest healing ministry in our church, and that is done by St. Michael's Church of Charleston. The group goes there, and in India, we have 366 gods. We have 365 days in a year, but in India, we have 366 gods. So for them, Jesus is also one of the gods. So it becomes easy for us when we say that there is a healing ministry going on here, people all flock. And when we have this healing ministry, we have it on the open tent. 2,000 to 4,000 people attend that. And for the last 10 years, this has been a great success for our church. And the people come. They receive the blessing of Jesus Christ. They know that Jesus is a healer. So that's our strength. So when we have a teaching where it is mentioned that Jesus heals people, and then the healing takes place. And I've seen many, many, many miracles in my own time as a bishop, that blind can see, lame can walk. And these are some of the many testimonies which I can go on giving. So spiritually we are doing this as a part of the healing ministry, which is a spiritual nourishment which we give. The physical challenge is our diocese borders another country, Bangladesh. So we are cross-border trafficking going on there. And this is one of the very big challenges that we have, that we need to restore God's creation. And this restoring of God's creation is done through the awareness programs that we have with the local government. We have people who have been rescued are kept in what is called the St. Michael's Safe Home, which is again a contribution of St. Michael's Church of Charleston. And these people are kept there. We started off with six. Now we have 350 children in that center. And these 350 children are sent to school for education. They are sent for, we are giving them food, clothing, and we want to empower them. And finally, we have a lot of successes on that. We do not know what their faith is. But when they attend the age of 18, they say, since we have got the love of Jesus Christ, we want to accept Christ. And we baptize them. See, in India, you cannot directly preach. So we have to use methodologies which are feasible in our country. And through this work, people are attracted to Christian faith. And as I said that, you know, we have this safe home, which is a big challenge to us. And when we have this elderly people who drop out of or are being rescued, we also give them an alternative livelihood so that they can live and they can feel the love of Jesus Christ. I would like to conclude by saying I need to thank Bishop Mark Lawrence for allowing St. Michael's and Holy Cross to come and minister to the remotest of the places. Our diocese is a tribal diocese. 85% people are tribals called the Santali tribe. They have their own administration, they have their own culture, they have everything of their own. But we, the St. Michael's Church has been a great source of inspiration for us. They go every year, and this year also in November they are going, and a group of 9 people are going, and we will see wonderful work. The impact of this work cannot be seen within this 15 days that they are there. The impact of their work goes on after they leave, when people come and, you know, receive Jesus Christ. Thank you very much, Bishop, for this wonderful time we've given.
It's my first time to be in America. And so I want to thank Bishop Mark Lawrence for inviting us and making me stand in this church. And also Bob and Lenny, whom we met in Ethiopia for summer mission. I'm Bishop Francis Matui from the diocese of Makueni. Makueni is in Kenya. Kenya, you know, is in Africa. Our diocese is near the ocean, 300 miles from the ocean, Indian Ocean. And I bring you greetings from Makueni. Let's go to the next one. Now, a little bit of this diocese. This diocese was created from the diocese of Machakos, and that was in the year 2013, January. And the first bishop was Bishop Kanuku, who retired on 31st of August 2016. And then I took over on 4th of September 2016. And so we are doing our seventh year. We are just tomorrow we shall be starting our seventh year. The diocese covers 1.1 population, million people. And out of that population in the land, we have 18,000 of them who are Anglicans. And from these 18,000, this is a figure we did head count in the month of April this year. And we have a tabulation, 97 parishes, sub-parishes and missionary areas, 163 congregations, and we have 3,000 women, 1,000 men, and 3,000 youth. And for the youth, we are saying we need to get more information. The counting is still going on, and the total is given there of 18,000 membership. Out of this, we have 70 full-time clergy, and 17 of them are part-time, or what we call tent makers. 22 of them are evangelists, 9 of them are theological students, and the diocesan secretariats are 12 people who are helping to serve in the bishop's office. And the mothers' union department, or the women, have emerged in the mission. They are leading, they have employed a full-time worker whom they are paying to do women ministry. And then out of this, we have the issues of sustainability. Our key project, which we are doing, we are calling it Makueni Christian and Social Training Center. A picture is coming soon. And this building is a big building, which we are doing it so that we may provide a place for training clergy. Clergy are trained theologically from other areas, but we need a refresher place where they can sit and discuss issues pertaining to the diocese. We also are doing plots for the Mothers Union and for men. They are in the position of buying land so that we may be able to build conferences. This is the Mothers Union department, or the women. There is a picture which was Ed Green. Those are the women are divided into two groups. We have women who are singles and who are widows and widowers. My wife has a passion for them. She has brought them together and she's working with that group. And the one in blue, these are the women who have married in the church and those who are helping to serve the others. And so this is the women department. This is the children ministry. This picture was taken on 31st August. We have already competition going on for Sunday school to help them internalize the word of God. And so these are three congregations who gather together and the children were celebrating on this particular day. The next one, this picture is for men. All men. On this particular day, we were doing a conference for a whole week. We ended up with the planting of trees. We planted 1,200 seedlings, and the bishop is the person who is almost kneeling down planting a tree. And then the next one is lay readers ministry. Lay readers. We have over 700 lay readers who help the clergy to do worship on Sundays and to preach. And this was a training going on for the lay readers and a commissioning service. The next one is after we had commissioned them, and they are taking a photo with the bishop. And this was another day for 3 days training. The next one is concerning the evangelist. The people you see in the red ties and the white shirts, those are the evangelists I talked about, the 22 of them. And these are the people who plant churches. They go around and we have given them the skills of planting churches. And then this day we had trained them and we had taken that. This is the last day when I worshipped before I came here. And this was on 15th of September. All the people with the white headscarves are those whom we confirmed on that day and in the sacrament of confirmation. And so this was a service which we did for that particular church. And so these two represent the churches we are planting. And this is the newest planted churches this year. The one with the grass thatched roof with the old lady walking to that church. And the other one is about 6 months old. And these churches are the newest in the diocese. This is also another church we planted last year. And it is a church we are looking forward for its growth. I had gone there to visit and see it. And this is the most modern permanent church, the only one in the diocese. And in this particular area, Anglican Church came there in 1901. And so we have one archdeaconry of 17 churches. And this is the one, the church which we have the best one. Now, this is the center I talked about, where we are building churches. And this for the training of the people. The center where we are training evangelists. And where we are, this is the same building from different direction. And as we move on, most of this, our cathedral, the pro-cathedral, it's not yet confirmed it's a cathedral, it's a pro-cathedral. Remember, our diocese is 6 years old, and this is my family, Timothy Daniel, and my beautiful wife, Margaret. And so, we thank you. We have two challenges. Number one is training of clergy. We ask anybody who can work with us. The 97 clergy, only 40% of them are trained theologically. Thank you very much. May God bless you.
Good evening. I am not a bishop, so I won't be speaking for a diocese this evening. And number two, I don't have slides to show you, so I will be your slide this evening. I want to thank God for this opportunity to be here this evening, and especially for the privilege to be here in South Carolina. This is the second time for me to be here, so I consider myself very, very blessed. I come from Nigeria, from the Anglican Diocese of Jos. Some of you seated here already know my bishop, Archbishop Benjamin Kwashi, is my bishop. I will be speaking briefly on just one aspect of the mission effort of the Anglican Diocese of Jos, and that is the Christian Institute, which is the seminary of the Anglican Diocese of Jos, one of the seminaries in the Church of Nigeria. The Christian Institute was established by the Archbishop Ben Kwashi in 1992 for very wonderful reason. See, the Anglican Diocese of Jos is located in the central part of Nigeria, and the central part of Nigeria serves like a kind of a buffer zone between the hostile Islamic North and the relatively peaceful Christian South. So in that position, we experience quite a lot of pressure, especially from the North, because I think that it's very clear Northern Nigeria is among the most persecuted regions as far as Christianity is concerned in all the world. So there are a lot of persecutions, violence, hostilities suffered by Christians around that region. So the Christian Institute was established to contribute in its own little way in raising young ministers whose hearts are submitted to the Lord, sold out to the Lord, who will not play safe, but who will take the challenge to take the gospel back to the North. That is what we stand for in Jos. Now, our focus and our approach is to give holistic training to our students. Holistic in the sense that we take intellectual development very seriously, so we strive for academic excellence, but that is just one aspect of it. Spirituality is another aspect that we do not compromise. And so our students go through rigorous discipleship program for the number of years they come to spend with us. But also, we give them skill training as well, because most of the dioceses and churches in Northern Nigeria are struggling with poverty. So many times you find a pastor posted into a community where there is no church building. There's no pastor's house. And you are literally expected to do some miracle, to build a house by yourself. So at the Christian Institute, we put all of that into practice. We build some of our lecture rooms by ourselves with our hands. We build some of our staff accommodation with our hands, together with the staff and the students, because that way they get to learn how to sustain themselves in the mission field. That is what we do, part of what we do at the Christian Institute. So we emphasize on developing the head, the heart, and the hand all together for practical missions. Now, currently we have about 126 students in all, and currently we run more than just theology courses, because, like I said, our effort is holistic. And so we realize that there are a number of young people who don't necessarily feel called to the ordained ministry, but they want to be relevant in the hand of God, to reach out in mission and evangelism in other ways. And so in addition to courses in theology, we also run courses in community health. Because those of you who are aware, are familiar with issues in Nigeria, health issue is one of the critical challenges. And so we realize it's one of the easiest ways you reach out to a community. And so we have courses in community health, in environmental health. We also have courses in music and worship, media, because these are contemporary issues that society is struggling with. And so we seek to be relevant in all of these areas. Now, currently we have a staff collection of about 40, But 90% of these are on part-time basis, basically because as an institution, we are also struggling and we cannot afford to have too many on full-time basis. So that is just the reason why we have many of them more on part-time basis. The challenges we face are many, and I won't bother you with them. Just to say, pray for us. Persecution is a reality in our daily lives. And then secondly, we have challenges in terms of funding, infrastructures, lecture rooms, hostel accommodations. These are also very practical challenges. But another thing that I want to mention, and I have a lot to thank the Diocese of South Carolina for, especially this year, I received a token, a contribution of $2,000 from one of you here. I don't know if he wants me to mention his name, so I won't. To channel towards young people who are struggling with fees, and honestly, we are very grateful because that is one of the areas our students are struggling with, the ability to pay their own fees. And so that is also a challenge. And it's not really something much because for the whole year to cover tuition, accommodation, feeding, and several other things is about $500 for one student. That is basically what we charge in 1 year. So these are some of the challenges we are facing. Now, we have graduated over time about 700 people. Out of this number, we have about 15 bishops that have graduated now in the Church of Nigeria holding dioceses from the Christian Institute. So we believe that God is using us for something great in Northern Nigeria. Thank you very much.
I am Rebecca Nyegenye. I come from Uganda. I serve as the provost of the cathedral, the Diocese of Kampala. That is my family, I and my husband Wilson, and we have 3 children, 2 girls and 1 boy. I was among the first leadership training here, and so that is my team that I was with during that time. All Saints Cathedral is a city parish in the Diocese of Kampala and also the seat of the Archbishop. The Archbishop is also the Bishop of the Diocese of Kampala. All Saints was founded in 1912 and it was a small place. Our vision is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. I will not mention all the details. And we can continue. Yes. The nature of our congregation, we have a congregation of about 7,000. And we get to have some of the big people in the nation. On that particular day, we have the president of the nation and also the speaker. In attendance, they come once in a while, not regularly. Yeah, that is our old cathedral. As I said, that we have a growing congregation, and so we are moving on from that cathedral into a new cathedral, which is under construction. That is what we expect to see when the cathedral is done, but this is where we are as for now in the construction of the cathedral. And that is just the inside of the cathedral. It was a Sunday, and so a number of Christians were going to see the progress of the work in the cathedral. That cathedral seats 5,000 Christians at a go, and we hope it will be able to take care of the numbers that are growing. We have various ministries at the cathedral, as you can see them, mission and evangelism, compassion and social services, prayer and intercession. All those ministries are headed by one priest. And we have about 10 of us as the priests at the cathedral, and one other priest who is in the 11th is at our church plant, as you're going to see. The Children's Church is a big deal for us because we have at least 1,200 children that attend church on a particular Sunday. We also have a nursery school that was also started in the early 60s to take care of the children of staff, but now the nursery school has grown and it extends to take care of the children in the community. And right now we have about 280 children who come to that nursery school. That is our church plant, All Saints Chapel Weza. It was planted 2 years ago, and right now it has a congregation of about 700 people and quite a growing number of the youth and children. That is church land, which was purchased outside of Kampala. It is 2 hours drive away from the city. It was purchased specifically for the youth. And our youth go there annually for a youth camp. We take about 500 youth to go there for a camp. But this is a place that we are developing as a retreat center for mission and discipleship. We want to particularly focus on training our youth and our children in that center. First, train them for mission. We want also to get them rooted, because we have this great number of children and we can't afford to train them from within the city center. So our prayer is that we can construct a place where we can be able to take them out and focus on training them. But also it is in the rural area where we expect that the youth can be able to learn other skills like gardening, poultry, and others which can help to equip them. Areas of prayer and partnership. Compassion ministry. Right now we sponsor 30 students in primary, secondary, and university, but the applications that we have are so many. Training and sending of missionaries. We have one person that we've already sent in Karamoja. It's a diocese which is in a very difficult area, and they require people to go there and share the gospel. The finishing of the cathedral, which can accommodate the congregation, accommodation for clergy. Our clergy stay very far apart and sad. Television and radio project. We have a place in the new cathedral where we hope to have the television and radio center as a way of communicating the gospel. The children's church, we need to build a center for the children, developing land to support the youth ministry. So thank you so much for listening to me.
I'm Bishop Seth Tairuki from Burundi. English is my third language, and I try to make it clear that you can hear what I say. You've heard a lot and you will be hearing a lot. I just want to say three things. One is to thank you so much for inviting me in Anglican Leadership Institute in 2017. And hold on, I want to talk on. Secondly, for this time of new wine skin, better together, that's very, very important. I really thank you so much for allowing us to come this far, because it's not easy for many of us to come. I'm very happy to see the flag of Burundi. Burundi has been colonized by Belgium, and we've been in a very, very difficult conditions. And up to now, we are still suffering from the outcome of that tribalism, fighting, and a lot of that. Burundi is now the first poorest country in the world. It's shameful that we hear wherever we go, we say, are you from there? Have you stopped killing each other? A lot of things, you know. But when Ezekiel was asked the question, can the dry bones be alive? And he said, yes, Lord, you alone know. I cannot tell you about all what we are suffering through. Second thing, I would like to invite you to come and see what is there. You will see what we are, and where we are, and what we are suffering through. I want to talk of this. That lamb you see lost his mother after 2 days. And other sheep, they could not welcome that small one. So my wife and myself, we just thought, what can we do? The Bible tells us to be, Jesus is a good shepherd. So we thought of giving the lamb milk, whether that can help. So we started that, my wife giving the lamb milk. And we developed a relationship, you know, with that young one, to the extent that every time it would move from other sheep to come in the house and benefiting the fellowship. What does that mean? The fellowship is very, very important, you know. We want a fellowship, to fellowship with one another, better together, you know. So, other slides, please. These are the toilets where our children go to when they want to ease themselves. You can imagine, the Lord has blessed you with a lot, but there are others who are suffering. I'm in between that to the headmaster and the head teacher. I was in between. Please, what I'm saying here and all those pictures, don't display them for security reasons. You see, we want to cover ourselves that we are doing well when we are not really doing well. You see, this is, I was doing a confirmation service. You can see the walls. Those are it is the church we are building. But people built tents. They put tents there so that the bishop can be there. And there was a couple, there was a couple which was supposed to be wedded that day, and they delayed, and we started the confirmation, and I was very happy to bless them, you see. So we preach the word of God, and we like to be with the people who are less privileged. The next one. So this is the other side. I'm doing confirmation. I was doing confirmation. I do really enjoy blessing people. I enjoy praying for people. This is the Mother's Union. So after the service, the Mother's Union prays, and I bless the congregation. So the third thing is to ask you to pray for us. Pray for us. Next year, we have elections for the president and all the dignitaries. According to what have been happening, when we have elections, we have violences. In 2015, we had 500,000 refugees. They are still outside the country. So we pray for us for the elections. This is the design of our new cathedral. We are praying. Pray for us as we continue, as we'll be able to finish it. May the Lord bless you. God bless you.
My name is Joseph Kebuchwa from Kirinyaga Diocese in Kenya, a very rural diocese. That out of this congregation, I think two bishops here have been to my diocese, and in the congregation, I can only recognize one person who has been to my diocese, and that is Jenny over there. This is my first time to be in South Carolina, as well as this part of the world, and I thank God. I'm the third bishop of my diocese, and this is Kirinyaga. In the spirit of better together, my coming here has developed me, and At St. Christopher, I came upon a friend who has helped me to grow. And I'll be doing things better than I was doing. Please go back. This is a drawing that I was using to teach the book of Genesis to my people. Through that Fred who is over there, Mr. Nede, you can just stand as I say this. We have been able to develop another one that I'll be using now. That one. That is the tool I'll be using to teach the book of Genesis. This is what I was using to teach the book of Exodus. Nede and I, we have developed this. This is what I was using to teach the book of Leviticus. In the spirit of better together, we have developed this. It is my hope that our partnership will continue for mutual benefit. One thing about our diocese is that we have a children's home. This children's home is a rescue for street children, orphans, and vulnerable children. These are photographs from the home. The first photograph is our dining hall. The other one is a workshop, because the big boys, we train them on vocational courses, how to make tables and chairs for self-sustainability. This is the same. And we think this is a good story. But the bad news about this venture is that we are only doing it for boys. And somebody who has done some research in our diocese has said, for every boy we help, there are two girls with nobody to help them. See, so I'm making an appeal. If you want to join us so that we can extend this to girls, please, you are welcome. God bless you.
I'm George William Kasangaki, and I'm married to Joyce Elizabeth, and we have 5 children, two boys and 3 girls, and this is my second time to present here, and so I will not repeat many of the things I said earlier, apart from a few, but we have had a long partnership relationship, particularly with One World Health, Parameto Medical Initiative at first, and they have been coming to our place, and they usually come every three months in big numbers, maybe 30, 40, and they minister freely all over the diocese. And the diocese sent me to say thank you for those who know One World Health and Parameto Initiative. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, the clergy. Thank you, everybody who is here. Now, this year, maybe looking at our ministry, the percentage of the young people, the youth and the children in Uganda is very, very high. And so we thought we need to attend to the children. And this year was declared a year of children, and that was now the launching of the year of children. You can see me there, and the one in charge of children. Go to another. And those are the youth, with the vicar and myself, and even can continue with other groups. They are also of youth, because we are trying to emphasize the importance of youth. We are so much with them, because the youth are very much enticed in many things. So every program we try to bring on board the youth, and that is the picture showing the lay reader being introduced and accepted in the church. The lay reader drums. So he's there being drumming, being received in that church. And that is for the staff in the diocese. We work as a team, and so that is the staff. And Mothers Union, in our ministry in the church, if we neglect women, we cannot stand. We have to be with the women, and they are the people who support our church mostly. We have even those in purple you see, those are the wives of the clergy, but you see their picture also separate, but they are mixing with other women for ministry. And those are the women council, that's the women council. The women, they have the leadership, the women council, those are the leaders of the women, and my wife is in between, you saw her earlier, but she's with them. Even if she's not the president of Mothers Union, but as the bishop's wife, she has to be there to encourage them. And that is a picture again of Mother's Union, a vocational center. They are training the young ladies into sewing. So they are there. Those are the pictures of the youth celebrating the annual youth convention. They have a convention. All those are concerning at various levels. This way they are discussing. And then the other is praising. Here they are praying for the sick. And the other one you can see who has fallen. They are too praying. And here they are listening to the messages preached. And now in our church, rather me as the bishop, I don't have a house. The house that was there was originally for a school teacher, which was used by my predecessor, and now who became the archbishop, and I took over from him, and now it was in that same site. It became too old, and we raised it down. We have raised a new house for the bishop with 5 bedrooms self-contained and 1 not self-contained, and a big sitting room, because that's where the bishop will receive people. And the cathedral, I didn't bring the old cathedral, I showed it the other time, is small. It is possible we have 3 main services. In the first service, you may have as many people outside standing in the windows listening to what is being preached. We are building the new cathedral that is behind, and this is the front of the new cathedral. But already we have the member of parliament who promised us to buy the iron sheets. And so we are. Continue. Oh, that's the last one. Thank you. Those were the constructions that we need you to pray for us. We thank you for partnering with us. We thank you for supporting us in ministry. Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Bonsoir, comment ça va? Alléluia. I'm from the French-speaking country. I'm from Democratic Republic of Congo. Our church covers 2 countries, Republic of Congo and the Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm working as a national youth worker within our province of Congo. We have 14 bishops. Those are the bishops who I'm working with them. They are the good people. We are coping very well. In Congo, you can see I have a lot of slides. Those are the youth leaders who we are trying to train them. Among them, we produce pastors. We have produced 1 bishop. Those who know the Bishop William, he was among us. Then we produce some of the people. This is one of our tasks, to help the young people to replace other people who are there in the church. Then we are working also to build peace. You know, in Congo, we have 440 tribes. All of us, we still have some problem between us. We provide the water where we can evangelize people and also supplies water for the displaced people. What we have heard about the killing in the northeast of Congo. We have water. We are giving those people, widows and rape lady. In Congo, we still have a problem with water. Some of the kids in a displaced camp, this is the water they are drinking. That's why some of the kids are going to take water there. Okay, we have a center for peace. We like Congo. For us, many times people have said we have a conflict in Congo. It's true. Many of us, we have a conflict. You can see in the east, people have a conflict. Those are young people, they are the orphan, who are in a militias group. We went to evangelize them to come back, then also to build peace. This is the way we are trying. We have also pygmy, those people in the forest. Nowadays, they refuse to pick their photos because of some of the security, because some of the politicians before, they did something bad to them. They said they like to know how to read and write. We are trying to help them, the youth leaders. This is an orphanage. We have 600 orphans who we are taking care of them, but more of them still coming because of that war which is happening in the north. Then also we have some of the people. You know, Congo have become like a poubelle, we say in French. All the bad people are coming to Congo now to create some group of the rebels. We have some of the Al-Qaeda who are there also, fighting in those bush, killing people. Those are the group of the orphans who have finished primary school to go to secondary school. Then we have some of the orphans are coming. You know, those children are coming without any parent. Their parents have been killed. They like to join the orphanage program. Then we are teaching the young people practical skills as well. You know, in Africa, sometimes to get a job is difficult. They can have something which can help them to gain money. Those are ladies who are orphanage. They are in school. Then they are learning also a practical skill as well. Also, we have our widows. We have 200 widows who are trying to think about the building peace. Their husband passed away. They killed their husband with a machete. Then some of them are taking care of some of the orphan. Now we are. This is our work to help them. Then also we provide some of the maize, some of the food to them. That's why we have some land. We have provided something to give them. Then we have also seeds for them to grow some vegetable around their compound. Then some of the women are producing sweet potatoes, which help her to get some money in the market, then also to help the family. Also, we have those ladies in Congo, you know, with our culture beliefs, ladies are not have a chance to go to school. Many people are saying they are waiting for the husband. Now we are helping them to know how to read and write. Here we are helping displaced people. We have more than 100,000 people who are around the Bunia town because of the killing which is going on there. Go. Also, we have a center where we are teaching the young people through sport. There's a discipleship program we are doing through sport, which is bringing more young people to church. Those are raped ladies who are displaced camp. We have a center where we are teaching them. Those are the widows who came. She lost all the 26 people from her family. Now we found her crying, say now, how will be her life now for the future? She's there crying. You can see those ladies there with her brothers, two brothers, have been cut with machete, which is going on in Ituri. This is what we are taking care of them. Or some of the women have been cutting machete their leg. We are really taking care of them. Then many of them are there. Okay, this is the center we are helping. These are the ladies who have been raped, then getting a child without planning. Now she's there, traumatized. Now Aseta is trying to take care of her. Also, we are giving certificate to those ladies who have been raped, having a problem, then they went through our training. We give them certificate for encouraging them, to de-traumatize them, to help them. Okay, we are doing Jesus film as well. We are trying to help people to become a Christian. That's why we evangelize some of the Islam people in our area. They have become a Christian. We are giving them a Bible. Finally, I'd like to say thank you so much. Thank you for welcoming us here. Thank you so much for Bishop and Father Bob, even Jenny, the one who worked hard for bringing us here. This is my first time to be here. Back home, we say you are going to Washington, D.C. This is what people are saying there. Now I'm here. I'm really blessed with your love, your blessing. We like to be, the way we are saying, better together. In French, we say, Assemble le pouvoir. Means now, all of us together, with Jesus, we can do something. Bishop will join you, hearing what you are saying. Thank you so much. We are with you. All our youth leaders, I'm going to explain to them, will be together to work together. Thank you so much. God bless you. Let us work together.
Well, almost one more to go, and praise God. Hey, everybody's tired. Praise the Lord. Can you all say amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus is the Lord yesterday and today and tomorrow for those of us who are committed to Him. And I'm so grateful to be among you today. I bring greetings from my family, my wife Sarah, and my boys. I have four boys and Jacob, the big boy, Abraham and Isaac and Benjamin. And I just want to say thank you. Many of you are on my prayer list, those of you who are praying for Benjamin. Benjamin is sick and he is developing a condition that many of you were praying for him. But when the test was done, you know prayers worked. The test turned out normal and he's left with one more turn. So praise the Lord. I come from South Sudan, and, you know, it's a country that when you hear about its name, your heart has to break. We have been in war for many years. Since 1955, that's when that country started being in war. And on 1980s until 2005 and 2011. And you know, when war happens, what happens? Destructions, loss of lives, displacement, all the horrible things happen. That is the country I come from. And in the next slide, as we speak now in that country, because of the background, there are so many challenges there, including high illiteracy, and there's still a lot of recurrent violence, displacement, poverty, tribal conflict, and hatred. This is one of our major challenges now. When you come from such a country, what do you think? I am one of the remnants of South Sudan after more than 2.5 million were killed. So when I became one of the remnants, I asked myself, God, what do you want me to do? Of course, like many other South Sudanese. Well, we have to pray for a vision. And God gave me a vision of leadership development. I wanted to develop Christian leaders because so many of our leaders have been killed or murdered or displaced. After that, I wanted to empower Christian leaders and raise Christian leaders in that particular country. And I wanted to focus with adults, but my wife actually changed my strategy and said, you know, if you want to build this country, you have to start with the children and train these children, raise them up, and then so that they become the leaders of the next generation in that particular country. So women are so smart and they listen better to the Holy Spirit. So we started our ministry of Good Shepherd Academy, Good Shepherd College. That is where my vision was, but a little diverted by the vision of God, Good Shepherd Academy. It's a big ministry. We are committed to the word of Jesus, and you will continue to read it. That is our founding scriptures. And we have so far accomplished starting our school. And I want to show you these pictures. These were the very first pictures that Bob and Lynn found when I was building that school there. Yes, that is our little school. In a country where more than 2.5 children are out of school, 2.5 million, we started in enrollment with 117, and now we have 335 children at the moment, 69 children at the moment. We keep training them, providing the teaching, feeding them the food, providing clean water and safe water, trying also to, you know, build the nation. When we see our work, we are building the nation, you know, unity, reconciliation, as we gather these children, that the future of South Sudan that we are building there. And not only do we teach, but spiritual formation in the young age. And not only do we just teach, but, you know, forming character academically and spiritually, and engaging the community. And it is a discipleship ministry. It is all about leadership building and giving space for women. These are our students from the seminary classes, and teaching the word and continuing on doing a lot of work. And I invite you to partner with us, and there are so many ways to be engaged with us, and one of the important ways is to pray for us. Pray and pray and pray for us. And I want to say the rest of the things, you can find them later. Again, to find more about South Sudan, you can actually read my story, or you go on our website and get more. And thank you very much, and keep praying for us.
And before Fred goes, I have to apologize because he sent me a PowerPoint that I didn't get. So I made a slide with his name and where he's from, but you're going to hear him without pictures other than a very few that came in one email. But I just wanted to apologize publicly, Fred, before I make you the last one without your presentation.
Hallelujah. My hallelujah is first and foremost because I thought everybody should have walked away by now, leaving me with empty pews to speak to. My name is Fred Ochieng Onyango. I am an Anglican priest in the Diocese of Maseno South. That's in the western part of Kenya by Lake Victoria. I serve in the diocese as the Director for Missions and also as Vicar of a parish in there. I bring greetings from my wife, Sophie, our three boys, and a new addition to our family, our little girl, Epiphany. They all send their love and regards. The Diocese of Maseno South in Kisumu, Kenya, is home to approximately 157,000 Anglicans. It is served by 78 clergy in 38 parishes and 228 congregations. It was created in 1970, and the current bishop is the Right Reverend Charles Onginjo, who could not be here because he was in a motor accident and he had fractured ribs, and he had initially purposed that he would be here. We as a diocese have benefited because of our proximity to Uganda and by extension Rwanda, to the East African spirituality, and that is what keeps the fire burning in our midst. As a diocese, we are focused on intentional discipleship, and that includes evangelism, vibrancy in our worship, Christian formation, and in a nutshell, we phrase it as proclamation and demonstration of the gospel through word and deed, something that Bishop Mark Lawrence likes to call fighting for the soul of Anglicanism. We do our ministry in a context where we face the threat of Islam, not in a militant way, but in a very subtle way, because Islam in our area has morphed and is identifying areas in which the church is not doing well. They are going into the villages and setting up mosques. They are building schools. They are building hospitals. They are promising our young people scholarships to go to high school and colleges only if they would convert to Islam. And so they are taking advantage of our material poverty. We also have the threat of African traditional religion, whereas you would have many people come to church, but in the background, they would still want to go to the witch doctor and offer sacrifices. And as a result, we have in our midst several retrogressive cultural practices that are not healthy for our people. Also, we serve in an area that has the highest prevalence of HIV/AIDS in the country and teenage pregnancy. And our ministry must be focused in that direction in order to be of help to our people. So what are the some of the mission initiatives that we are involved in? We, from time to time, welcome medical missions, doctors, nurses who are willing to come out and help our people meet their medical needs. We are also doing mission through the building of schools for formal education. And at this juncture, I want to appreciate members of Christ Church Mount Pleasant who have come alongside us, my brother Gary Beeson, my brother Rags Cox, both of whom we were in seminary together with, and that is the beginning of our friendship with South Carolina, and we look forward to what else God is going to do through that friendship. I also must appreciate the Children's Learning Center at St. Paul Somerville that have come alongside us. We are still building the school. We started with just one classroom. We are at about five classrooms now, and we are encouraged every day that we will build the school one brick at a time. Courtesy of a young lady from Christ Church Mount Pleasant, we started a feeding program for the children who have to walk 5 kilometers every day to come to this school on empty stomachs. And so Dylan Barker came out and spent 2 months living with us in the parsonage, and she was able to inspire us and just be a great witness as to what God can do when you take a step of faith and get out there, regardless of what else is out there. And she is such a witness to what it means to go out on mission. We are also focused on provision of clean, safe water and courtesy of St. Timothy Kenbe, a village where my mother lives for the first time can turn on a tap and get clean water. Previously, my old mother had to walk about 2 kilometers to go to the river, and the water was not clean. So we praise God for that. We also have a program for vulnerable girls' education scholarships. And like I told you, there is a high prevalence of HIV/AIDS and teenage pregnancies. And it is very easy for families to send off their sons to school and send their girls to get married so that the dowry money can help pay for the boys. And so we are keen that when you educate one girl, you educate an entire village. And so currently we have 27 girls that we have rescued from early marriage, and we have sent them off to boarding schools to give them some kind of protection. And it is such an inspiration to see them coming back into the community and supporting the community to grow. So what can you do to come alongside us and support us? First and foremost, would you join us in prayer? Please pray with us that the Lord will continue to move in that part of the world. Secondly, would you consider being our friend? Because relationships are more important than anything that we might receive from one another. Consider being a friend of the Diocese of Maseno South. Thirdly, consider going for mission, either short term or long term. You are welcome to come alongside us and serve the people of God in our diocese. If you cannot go for whatever reason, would you also consider serving as a sender, that you would provide care and support to those who are stepping out in faith to come and work and live amongst our people? And also, would you also consider supporting us financially? It costs $10 to feed a child for a whole month in our school. It costs $100 to pay the salary of one teacher for a whole month. It costs $600 to educate one girl, all tuition, books, uniform, and all incidentals for a whole year. Just imagine, when $600 can barely do a lot here, it does a great deal out there. And you can also come alongside and help us in construction work. Finally, as a diocese, and I know my bishop is focused on this, that we would like to have sustainability in our programs. Once in a while, we will benefit from your kindness and generosity, but it will be a wonderful thing if we can support our missions. If we can support one of our clergy to go to Marsabit and work with Bishop Kampicha in that part of the country. Finally, the call in Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to all of creation." God bless you.
Thank you all for coming tonight and being a part of this. I want to acknowledge Ginny Noyes, who is the director of New Wineskins. Ginny, would you stand? And she has Assad. Would you please stand? From Pakistan, a priest of the Church of God. I also want to thank Bob Lawrence for going above and beyond the call of duty. Some years ago, he resigned as chair of the Anglican Communion Development Committee, but he has not resigned from a strong focus on mission, and he and Lynn have been great supporters of mission within the Kingdom of God. And thank you both for all that you do. And if Janet Eccles is here, she is the chair of the Anglican Communion of Anglican Missional Partnership of the Diocese. Is she here? Is Janet here? Janet Eccles, did she just leave? And also the other members of that committee. If anyone is here from the Anglican Missional Partnership Committee of the Diocese, would you please stand? I see Canon Kendall in the back. And so some here. If you want to know how to form a missional relationship with one of these dioceses or missions that you've heard, they're the ones to talk to, or call Janet Eccles, who is the chair of that committee, and she can walk you through what you need to do to begin a missional relationship, missional partnership with one of these godly men and women. So if enough of you are here from who would know the East African Revival song, would you all lead us in that? And if someone has a really good singing voice, I'll give you the microphone and start with a, and some of you know the East African Revival song.
Kutetendereza Yesu, Yesu ori mwana kwandika, omusa gonazeza nebaza omulokozi. As we go out, may you be encouraged with these words from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. And this I have in my mind, and I have hope, for the Lord's great love we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And I said to myself, the Lord is my portion. I will always wait for him. Brethren, whether it is persecution or what or not, the Lord is your portion. Don't lose hope. Father, I commit these your children in your hands. They have invited us. They have fed us. They have supported us. You have been a blessing to us. I pray, Lord, that you bless this diocese and bless the families and bless the individuals. And I pray that, Lord, you help them to become overcomers and bless our time even as we leave this place. We will not leave your presence. And the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, keep you all in the knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. The blessings of God the Father Almighty, the Son, the Holy Spirit, rest upon you, rest upon all these men and women here present. These blessings be yours and ours, now and forevermore. Amen.